listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kourula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hollywood, this is your host with the most, Nikki Kourula. We're going to jump right into another quarantine episode of Wake Up Hollywood. Tonight, our special guest is a lovely songwriter, Miss Allie Taylor. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Actually, you're not a Miss Allie Taylor. You're a Mrs. Allie Taylor Rios.
That's right.
But I knew you when you were an Allie Taylor, so forgive me. But you know what? We're going to jump right into this. So, you know, you're one of the most talented songwriters I've heard in a long time, and I really mean it. You used to play songs for me in class, and I'd just be like, this is just stardom ready. Just whenever you're ready for it, just take it. So tell me, like, when did you start playing guitar? When did you start singing? What came first?
Honestly, percussion came first. I come from a musical family, so...
I know your father is an awesome musician.
Yes, yeah, fantastic banjo player, guitar player.
And your brother's also a musician, right?
Yes, my brother is, you know, we're 5 years different. He's 5 years older than me. And, you know, I had to follow everything that he did just because, you know, he was like my idol growing up, still is.
Of course,
So, you know, he started with percussion and I was like, I'm going to do that, you know, not really knowing what I was getting into. And that was in second grade. So started reading music in second grade, doing snare drum, marimba, that type of stuff.
Wow.
And then started to kind of find, you know, venture off a little bit. He stuck with it throughout high school and even college. But I decided, you know what, I want to try trumpet. So tried trumpet. You know, not a great trumpet player.
That's not an easy instrument to start on.
No, and you know,
it's so difficult.
Yeah, it's not the most intuitive, and you know, I was only in like fifth grade, I think, when I started that. So you know, my lungs are pretty tiny and whatever. You know, so I'm still like, I'd say at that level of trumpet, I still play, but you know, haven't really gotten any better. But yeah, got into singing probably around that same time. I had a fantastic teacher in elementary school who really just kind of lit that fire under me. She took an interest in me and kind of gave me, you know, little like special things to do in the classroom. Like, why don't you try singing this harmony? Or can you go sit with this kid and help them sing this part? And that just like shot my confidence way up. And from that point on, it was a done deal. You know, it's all I wanted to do. So
were you a soprano and alto? Did you kind of like just rotate from part to part?
Kind of whatever. It's weird. So in high school, when I did choir, the director actually had me sing tenor because I was the only person that could read music in that section. So, and the tenors needed help. Now I couldn't really like hit all of the stuff. And I'd say if anything, now I'm more of like an high alto.
Okay. We call that a mezzo.
Yeah, they kind of stuck me wherever they needed me. And, you know, I'm not going to say no. I take.
And what kind of music were you starting on? Was it like Christmas songs, or like folk songs, or any pop songs?
You know, I was raised on Alison Krauss, James Taylor, Fleetwood Mac, that kind of stuff. But going to school in North Hollywood, country music is not cool. You know, like nobody's listening to country music. Everybody's going to Coachella and doing that kind of stuff. So I kind of already didn't fit in that aspect. So I was like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to do whatever I want, whatever I like to listen to. So I rebelled and learned how to scream and joined a metal band.
What?
Yep.
I think I remember you telling me that. I think I remember you telling me you were in a metal band, and I was like so confused. I was like, you'd write these like beautiful folk country songs and you're like, yeah, I was in a metal band. I'm like, what?
Yeah, it was
you were screaming and like shout. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like full on like where the whole song was screaming. But if you've ever heard like Flyleaf or those types of bands where, you know, there's like little hints of it here and there. And, you know, I play my dad's Les Paul and try to be hard. And you know?
That's awesome. That's some street cred right there.
It's something, you know, look at those.
Well, I think everybody like gets to a point where they want, like, I mean, there was a point when I was a little kid, I wanted to be in a hair band. And I don't even have the hair for it, you know, but I mean, it's like, that's what I was listening to when I was really, sure. really young, you know, it's like, you're listening to Skid Row's poster on my wall. And it was just like, I want to be in a hair band. That's awesome. So it's, yeah. you're just gonna like gravitate towards whatever influences around you. And also what your friends are listening to. I mean, definitely. Your friends are going to influence what you want to do in music for sure. If they're listening to that.
Absolutely. And, you know, after that, I want to say maybe around like my junior year, kind of decided, you know what, like maybe my voice wants to sing something different, because I didn't really have a huge chest voice. You know, I didn't have that belting voice. I kind of sat in a weird place because growing up listening to Alison Krauss, who is, you know, she's up in the atmosphere and singing these gorgeous, soft, breathy things. I didn't know how to belt. I didn't know how to do the runs or anything big like that. So I said, you know what, screw it. Like if people don't want to, you know, listen to this kind of music, who cares? Like, I don't really fit in with the main crowd anyway, so I'm just going to do what I want. And it was an interesting thing because my aesthetic was still very goth, box dye, black hair, you know, crazy makeup and experimenting with piercings and all of that stuff. And I'm over here doing Miranda Lambert covers at the school talent shows.
That's awesome. So you were still being like, you wanted to identify in that hard rock genre.
For sure. Because
probably you built that whole reputation up. Yeah. So I'm not going to just change so quick.
Exactly. I feel like, you know, it's funny. A lot of people will kind of cringe looking back on those phases of their life. And I'm like, you know what? Like, it was fun. And there's still part of that in me. I mean, you can tell I've got tattoos everywhere. And, you know, it's like...
That just means you're a cool mom now, you know? You're like, yeah, I'm going to be hip. I'm always going to be hip.
I don't know if cool is the appropriate word, but I'm definitely a mom. That's for sure.
So you started playing Alison Krauss country-influenced songs, Miranda Lambert.
Yep.
And then what made you want to write music?
That's a good question. I actually started with poetry and kind of, you know, really in an emo phase and just wanted to write depressing things. And when I started learning how to play guitar, you know, my first two chords were A minor and E minor. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to take one of my poems and put it to a song and see what happens. And it was the worst thing that's ever come to be.
They always are in the beginning.
Yeah. And just thinking back on it, I was like, Jesus, like I was so privileged as a kid and so supported. And the things that I was writing was so dark and sad and woe is me, you know, but that was just part of it, you know, angst as a teenager. But yeah.
Then you channeled it into something beautiful.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, I think I can't say that there was a specific like moment in my life where I was like, I want to write songs. I think that just because I was surrounded by music so much and my brother, you know, really started to get into composing and he eventually, you know, he wanted to do like video game composition and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
I was like, dang, it was almost a competition once I got to a certain age of like, okay, he can't be that much better than me for the rest of my life. You know, like I have to catch up. I have to be cool. You know, like he is, I have to get there. So it was a lot of like collaboration and late nights, you know, in his room when he was first learning how to engineer and record and, you know, just writing silly things, or he would have me come in and, you know, hey, can you put a harmony on this? And that kind of really jump-started like, oh, he wants my input.
Oh, he wants my creative input. Yes,
exactly. Yep.
Then you were cool all of a sudden. Did you ever join a band with your family?
Yeah, definitely. We have a band called Shotgun Granny. We're a country cover band. Yeah, we only really wrote like maybe one or two songs together. You know, the scene out here in the AV, people aren't really looking for original music too much. So, you know, going out to the bars to play, you know, the top 40 type stuff. But yeah, my dad and my brother and I, and then really just our closest friends, two of which are also brothers who are in the band. And
so it's a family affair.
It really is.
And did you like plan on like writing and touring together? Was that never a thing?
I wouldn't say like writing and touring together, but you know, the original dream was out of high school, go to music school, and then move to Nashville and try to pursue a career as an artist. And my dad, you know, he's my number one cheerleader. And he was like, well, if you're going, I'm going.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, when you grow up playing music with certain people, and, you know, I've been really lucky with the musicians that I've gone to play with, I've been very spoiled. You know, you get comfortable and it's like, well, I don't want to play with anybody else. You know, these are my people. We know how to play together. We know.
Yeah. How did you not, you have to fight with those same people too. You know what I mean? Like when it's family, always worked. You were like, okay, yeah, let's just make something cool. And yeah. You're never like, no, I want to be like this, Dad.
Not really. I mean, when I first started learning how to play guitar, before I actually officially took lessons, I tried to have my dad teach me, and that was a little bit of a train wreck. Just because I don't think that parents and children should have that type of relationship anyway. It just doesn't really work out. But yeah, it was just kind of like a me like, meh, no, I'm not into it. And that was it. I mean, we never, even my brother and I, to this day, I can't remember a time that we've ever fought or, you know, we like have debates maybe, but never anything like the normal brother sister
rivalry. No normal band fights. No normal family fights. That's kind of crazy.
Nothing. We're very, very mellow.
So, like, how would it work with songwriting? Would you all write in a room together, or would you kind of you'd come in with a song, or somebody else would come in with a song? How did it work?
I would come in with a song. I mean, I've never actually written with that band. And actually I've never written with my dad either. So that's something that we've been talking about recently of like, you know what, like we haven't played together in a while. We got to do it. You know, let's try it. Let's try writing something. So that's a new venture actually that we're going into.
That's amazing. So then did you always just want to be like a country songwriter as you were just progressing? You knew, okay, this is it. This is what I want to do.
I think so. Yeah. You know, it took a while to figure out what really suited my voice best. And then also what my fingers wanted to do. And, you know, past that, just what makes me feel. And as much as I love hardcore music and I still enjoy it and listen to it, it doesn't give me that, you know, that goosebump feeling. And that's something that I really cling to. So country music, you know, it's all story. And
that's what I love about country music. Like, yeah. Country music has this campfire, let me just kind of like bleed in front of you or tell you a story, right. Something that hurts or that's something that's real. That's, you know, what I love most about it. And the unfortunate thing is, you know, it kind of gets a bad rap for some reason sometimes. I used to tell people, oh, I listen to everything except for country music.
Right.
And then I started really listening to country music and I'm like, I listen to everything because I love good music, period. Exactly. And there's so much good music in country music. Brad Paisley, Willie Nelson, Johnny Cash, Dolly Parton, Miranda Lambert, you know, Alison Krauss. These are all some of the greatest around. You know what I mean? Okay. So it's kind of, you know, frustrating that country, well, at least over here, gets that kind of rap. Let's play something. What do you want to play first?
I mean, if we're on a country thing, let's look at Here's to All the Girls.
All right, Here's to All the Girls, Ali Taylor Rios, here comes.
They look, looks like a miracle. If you
beautiful. What a pretty song.
Thank you.
I gotta give you a compliment that I couldn't always give you in class because I have to be fair to everybody, but you just have like a very seamless, effortless talent. And it's just like you would just play songs and it was just so honest, real, and creative and well put together. It was just a cut above a lot of, you know, songwriters, you know, that I hear so many songwriters, just from students to people that are, you know, out there just cutting their teeth and playing gigs. And you really just, you have like a really sincere and honest gift to just sing what you feel, write it in a poetic way, and have it arranged in a way that's like so cohesive and kind of just elegant. It's really great. Really,
thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
You know, I could never tell you that in class. I'm like, yeah, that was good. That was good. Let's work on things. But I was always thinking it because you would come up with these songs like, and I remember you'd play like finger picking kind of like, you know, arpeggios. And that's not easy to do. And you would do it so like effortlessly. And it's like, you know, those kind of songwriters, they're just rare. So just, I hope you never stop writing. I hope you're always pushing the limit. Tell me about the instrumentation. Was this with the family? Was this kind of with all kinds of different people? Who's playing what?
So all of the songs that you're going to hear are recorded in our studio. My family has been really fortunate and my parents were able to buy a house a couple years ago that actually had a fully built out recording studio.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
Yeah. So my brother, he runs that studio. It's Desert Sound Studio out in Palmdale. And so on all of these tunes, it's pretty much just me and my brother on everything. He's doing drums and keys. I'm doing all of the vocals and the guitar. And then our buddy Aaron is on bass.
Are you fighting over who's doing percussion on it? You're like, oh, no, you're doing
that. No, I've let that pass.
So tell me about your creative process when you write. What are you trying to kind of, what's the narrative or the voice or the, you know, what's the kind of angle that you're writing from?
So actually, with all three of these songs as well, these are actually all co-writes with different students of mine. I am obsessed with my students. They are just some awesome. Of the most brilliant, honest, vulnerable people I've ever met. And they range from, I've had songwriters as young as 8 to in their 50s. And this particular song was co-written with a girl named Abby. She's a young teenager who was, you know, just going through some body image issues and wanted to write kind of an anthem that other girls could relate to. And, you know, I was a teenager once and, you know, still even like going, especially after having my son and everything, you know, the body changes and having something to listen to and go, you know what, like, screw what everybody thinks is perfect.
Right.
You know, and our music video that we made for this, I get a little emotional thinking about it. We had a lot of kids, adults. We had, I think the youngest was 2 and the oldest is in her 80s. And they're all holding up a sign of something negative that's been said to them. So whether it's you've gotten fat, you're too old, she's too tall for her age, your hair's too curly. And then moving into them ripping up the papers or lighting the papers on fire or whatever. And then moving into everything in black and white, moving into color of them giving themselves a positive affirmation of.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that. Oh, give me chills. Yeah.
And it's all done through quarantine too. So it's all shot on cell phones and in people's backyards and living rooms. And it was just a really, really, really awesome project to be a part of.
You know, I always think of artists like yourself, like during this time, because, you know, now I can say it was a luxury having live gigs and being able to do festivals. And now it's a different kind of environment. How do you feel? Do you feel like it's forcing you to be more creative just in the way you're putting things together or, able to make videos? Like, tell me about that music video. What was that process like for you just to come up with a concept or to be a part of it?
I mean, I've never directed a music video before, so that was different in itself. I think with this whole pandemic, it's really forcing artists to push the boundaries on how to be creative, how to get content out there. I think it's making for more honest music. And honestly, I think it's actually, yes, it's closed the doors on a lot of opportunities when it comes to in-person things, but it's opened up so many doors for collaborations that are happening across the world. You know, it's right. No longer, oh, you're an hour away. That's kind of an inconvenience. It's, I can call somebody in Japan and we can write a song right now if we wanted to, you know?
I mean, that's what's kind of cool. It's like, I've been doing these like Zoom conferences and sometimes people are in LA and sometimes they're in another country and it's like, okay, let's do this because it's like the world may feel like it's farther away, but in a lot of ways it makes us a little bit more connected and able to do, you know, more things kind of like in the comfort of our own homes. You know, it's weird though, because like, you know, even thinking about doing even this, I can't believe you told me that you just did the music video with everybody just making, what did you tell everybody? Everybody stay in your home and do this video. I mean, take a cell phone and just, and then who edited? Did you edit the whole thing?
Actually, my mom helped me edit it. I'm one of those people where like, I still call my mom every day of like, I don't know how to fill out this form. Help me, or, you know, help me with this or whatever. I'm really lucky. But yeah, no, we came up with a whole little text, you know, document of here are the guidelines, you know, you have to shoot horizontal. The sign needs to be here. So I, you know, sent photos of like where to hold the signs, how long the videos needed to be. And then they needed to send me a couple takes of each. So I didn't have to see a single person in person.
Wow.
Yeah, it was interesting. And honestly, the response, we actually got more videos than we could handle.
That's amazing. What did you just put like a Facebook post, or how did you get everybody involved?
You know, a lot of them are students or parents of students or, you know, family friends or whoever. But yeah, put it out on Facebook and just said, hey, if you want to be a part of this, you know, it's gonna be really special. And you know, the response was just amazing.
That's
really
awesome.
Yeah.
So you play piano as well? Do you play you play guitar, you play piano, you play percussion and trumpets?
Yep.
Are there any instruments? I know you play banjo too. Don't you play a little banjo as well?
No, my dad's a banjo player. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I have a mandolin. I'm hoping actually pretty soon that my buddy Ian, we're going to trade some lessons. So hoping to pick that up. That's a big learning curve. Every time I pick up that instrument, I don't know.
You know, it's funny. I've been learning mandolin and banjo, and it's like, there's some things about it that are like, oh, this is so easy because of guitar.
Right.
And then some things I'm like, oh, this is not guitar.
Yep, you know, it's exactly.
Like, yeah, maybe I just focus on guitar, but I love picking it up just to kind of like go into another world, you know, of instruments. Yeah. But man, some of those instruments, I'm just amazed at how people can play them so well because
unreal.
They're not easy. Banjo, dude, just doing that roll with your fingers, I mean, that's not easy. It's just crazy. It's crazy. But
well, you know, the whole reason I bought a mandolin is because I completely idolized Chris Thiele, who is one of the...
He's a badass.
I mean, he, in my opinion, he's the best mandolin player in the world. You know, he's the youngest person to be endorsed by Gibson. He was like 7 or something like that.
Wow.
Unbelievable. And so my goal is just to be able to like play at least one Nickel Creek song. Just one. And then I'll be, you know,
he is definitely one of the most talented. And my favorite is the... video he did with Wolfpack. Have you seen that?
Oh yeah.
Oh man, it's so killer. So what is your favorite instrument to ride on, or do you have one, or does it change?
You know, it's interesting. For my own personal writing, I gravitate towards guitar just because of the finger picking, and you know, I have a hard time not writing a country ballad. So
I mean, you're great at it, so yeah. Makes sense.
So guitar is the go-to, but you know, majority of my writing is with my students, and because we're on Zoom, you know, I have my keyboard right in front of me. So majority of it is on piano.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I don't know why. I think it's just
changes the way you write. Like for me, piano and guitar, it literally changes the way I write on each of them.
Absolutely.
Sometimes I want to do more stock chords on piano just because I think they sound better.
Right.
Sometimes I want to do more intricate tunings on guitar because it sounds better, but you can't really do that with piano. So how does it change the way you write, you think?
I mean, most of my kids that, you know, they want to write pop music. So for me, I think it's just a little bit easier to visualize every key that I could play in on piano, just because it's all laid out in front of me. I don't have to think too hard about it.
Right.
And then, you know, we can at least get, I think, honestly, it's convenience for me. You know, I have my computer keyboard, so I can type out lyrics as we think of them and then just reach up and play piano. So it's just a little bit, it's a little bit of a faster process. And then usually once we move past, okay, these are the chords that we're going to use, let's see what it sounds like on guitar, and then move to that.
Oh, that's smart. You change keys or tempos ever when you're writing?
Yeah, definitely. Depending, because, you know, a lot of my students are younger, you know, preteen or teen. So there's a lot of voice changing happening. So songs that fit in my range are not necessarily great for their ranges. So, and we talk a lot about how even just moving a half step can completely change the tone of the whole song. So, you know, if we're talking,
I totally agree. I feel like key is like one of the most underrated parts of songwriting that you have to figure out even after you write the song. It doesn't mean it's done and it's ready to record in that key. It's like, I think you should experiment. And until I started doing it with my own stuff, did I realize, oh my God, I should be not writing in this open key. I should use the capo or, you know, just change the key. How do you feel? Like, pop music is a lot of synthesized instruments. Mm-hmm. And you're a player. You play piano, guitar. How do you feel that puts the modern songwriter like yourself? Like, do you feel like it's an advantage because you can use the synthesized stuff to your advantage, knowing keys and stuff? Or do you feel like it, you know, like the songwriter that plays an instrument is a dying breed? Because I sometimes feel like that with myself. I'm like, where are the instruments in this track?
You know? That's a good question. I'm kind of on both ends, because I know a lot of really amazing songwriters, and I've kind of just surrounded myself by, you know, with coffee shop artists. So to me, that it's not as much of a dying breed, only because I see it more often in my personal group of people. But yeah, no, I love having the option of using synthesizers. I think that what I like to do is kind of combine the both and push the limits of, like, well, why can't we have a song with finger picking on an acoustic guitar and put a synthesizer on it and see what it sounds like, you know?
I like that. But sometimes, like, I miss just the Johnny, when I listen to Johnny Cash or a Ray Charles record, I'm like, man, would those guys use synthesizers now? I don't think so. I don't think they'd touch them, you know? And then I often wonder, maybe they would. Maybe they would do it to become more modernized, you know? So I battle that a lot, because it's like I tend to like older music than, mm-hmm. I do love some newer pop music, but I tend to like older 90s, 80s, 70s, 60s, even 50s music, older pop music. So I always ask songwriters today that. Let's play something else. What do you want to play next?
Well, let's go to finger picking. So let's look at Michigan.
All right. Here's Michigan, Ali Taylor Rios.
Myself, if what I'm thinking is okay, hope that it's okay. I opened up that door that I had closed before, threw away the key to escape the memory. Every moment comes and goes, I think of you, and no one knows how hard it's been to face the pain alone. How could I move on? No. day would come when we'd say goodbye. I never thought that it would be so soon. I wish that we had one more day so I could say the things I didn't get to say to you. I wonder if you're looking down and seeing how I'm doing now. Hope that I'm making you proud. 'Cause how could I move on knowing I am not that strong with you up there? Oh, how I wish you were here. Take me back, take me back.
Beautiful song. Wow. I got chills like three or four times in that. And you know what? I got to tell you, it was so clever that you rhymed again with Mish again. I was like, Allie, you're clever. That's awesome. I was like, that's good. I mean, tell me what was the inspiration behind this song and what made you write it?
So I had this wonderful girl. Her name was Ainsley. Well, is Ainsley. And I only had her for a short time, only a few months. She was, I want to say like 13 or 14, I think 14 when she started taking lessons with me. And sweetest little thing, came in loving country music, wanted to learn how to sing. And I said, you know what, let's write a song. And I didn't know, but her mother passed away in a really tragic accident. And this had only happened a couple years before I met her. And her father met this lovely woman. They got married. They have a fantastic relationship with their stepmom. But, you know, there were still some feelings that she just didn't know if it was okay to talk about them.
Right.
And that's what I always tell my students is that when you write a song, there are no limits as to what you write about. It's just about feeling. And you don't have to show anybody, you know, this can be just for you. And that's what we came up with. It was about, you know, wanting to go back to this cabin that they used to go to all the time in Michigan and just missing her mom and, you know, wishing that she was still here. And it was a really hard song to write, you know.
Oh,
and
sure.
As her teacher, I kind of had to be strong for her and not break down, but, you know, still listening to the song. I haven't listened to it in actually over a year. And so it's been a while, and it's just like, it's hard not to get emotional because, you know, people know. Well,
you set the mood too. I mean, you're just like sitting there serenading, like, it's like, I just want to like, you know, lie down and just listen. Like, that's my favorite stuff. Like, my favorite things to do when I'm listening, it's like lying down, just listening to music. I want to be on a train where I don't even have a destination. I can just look out the window and just stare. Or oh, driving. Like, those are my three ways I just love, like, listening to music the most. Absolutely. And that song, you know, it makes you want to just, you know, create a movie in your mind and right. and kind of like let the song take you somewhere. And it does, you know. It's like you set the mood just with the music and the stuff. What came first, the lyrics, the guitar part, the melody?
She's a big Miranda Lambert fan, so we kind of went off of one of her songs. That's kind of where also the inspiration to have the pedal steel in there came in.
Who played pedal steel, by the way?
His name is Mark Burgess. He's in my country band as well. Phenomenal player out here in the Antelope Valley. And believe it or not, he's only been playing for a couple years. He
sounded great.
Self-taught, you know, and it's, yeah, it just, it kind of elevated. It gave that little bit of cry in the back that it needed to, you know.
That's crazy.
I needed it.
You know what? Like, That's such an emotional instrument. It's one of my favorite instruments. Mm-hmm. And it just always sounds like it's made in heaven. You know what I mean? It just has this heavenly sound. You know, there's a guy named Marty Rifkin who was played on my couple of my records. And, you know, he always makes fun of me because, like, I'll just sit and listen to him playing like this. And he's just like, after you get over the puppy dog phase, let me know what take you want me to, you know.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, it's just one of those instruments that just gives you the emotional pull, you know? Mm-hmm. And then your voice, it's going to just do the same thing. It's like, you've got such this delicate delivery that it's just not easy to do that. It's, you make it effortless again, but it's like, that's not easy to do. And how did you hold it together? Just making the vocal delivery for knowing what the song was about.
That's hard. Cause I'm the type of person where if I get emotional, my voice is the first thing to go.
Me too.
Get the shakes and, you know, the mucus and all that lovely stuff. And, you know, I had to kind of shut that off a little bit and almost sing it as if it was a cover and not an original.
Wow.
But, you know, actually she stopped taking lessons because the family decided that they were going to sell their house and just like travel indefinitely. Wow. So once they stopped taking lessons and moved, I called them and I said, look, like, I can't let this song just sit in my phone audio recordings. Would you guys be okay if I go into the studio and record it? And they were like, oh my God, that would be amazing. And they hadn't even heard the song yet. So the first time they heard it was the final product. And it was pretty cool. They called me and they were crying. And yeah.
Wow. Well, that's intense. That is intense.
Very. Yeah.
What did
I had to do it. I had to do it justice.
What did the 13-year-old songwriter think?
I mean, I feel like at the end of writing, she was able just to like take a big breath.
Yeah. I mean, that's a heavy concept and a heavy subject matter for a 13-year-old to write. I mean, I would have been writing about bubblegum and how I just wanted to get bubble tape at the movie theater.
Right. I like to push the limits with my students, and this might sound kind of horrible, but I've had quite a few students cry in lessons, and that's a good thing because, you know, there's so much pent up emotion, especially in teenagers. And especially right now over this past year, that, you know, they just don't have that place, and I want to be that person for them, you know, and I'm not the person who's going to go out and tell their mom, oh, you know, they said this to me, unless it's something to be concerned about. But you know, I want them to feel like there's somebody outside of their household that they can trust with their emotions and to put it into an avenue that they're not necessarily comfortable with.
You're like a musical therapist. I love it.
Honestly, like, I've had a lot of students say, like, this is therapy for me. And it is for me, too, you know, because it's the back and forth. It's this exchange of, you know, empathy and compassion. And it's just, it's neat.
Well, it's interesting because it's like, songs are a therapy in and of itself, but like the fact that you're able to connect with them, to write the song with them, that's a whole nother level of therapy because, you know, when you co-write with another songwriter that's just like on your level or, you know, you're in the same field, it can be almost like you're competing with each other to make the best thing.
Yeah. But
what you're doing is actually really beautiful. You're like holding them by the hand and saying, let me guide you and we'll do this together. And that is a tremendous gift that I'm sure they all feel. That's a big deal. That is definitely a big deal.
I love it. I mean, I couldn't ask for a better job and I couldn't ask for better students and better coworkers. It's a family business. My family opened up a music school a couple of years ago and
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Is the music school where you live?
Yeah, it's out in Lancaster.
That's awesome. Yeah. Is your dad teaching banjo classes? I'm sure he is.
He had one banjo student. Him and my mom kind of run the front desk. My brother runs the finances and I'm one of the head teachers. So, you know, we all have our own little
role. Smart. That's super smart because it's like those kind of skills. First of all, you guys are all like class A musicians and engineers and all of that. And so like giving that to a community, that is kind of like an amazing opportunity for anybody to come in and write music. And what's the name of the school? Let's promote that a little bit.
It's called AMPT, Academy of Music Performance and Education. You know, my parents, our whole thing is, you know, my mom's been a therapist for years and years and years. My dad worked for Sport Chalet and is a scuba instructor for ages. And
that's awesome. I remember your dad telling me that he loves scuba.
So when Sport Chalet went under, my dad was like, why would I go into something else like this again? And my mom was kind of burnt out on her thing. You know, it's hard to work with kids in foster care and things like that. It's just, it's emotional. I had this dream of opening up a music school when I got my first teaching gig and my grandfather said, do it. Here's the money. Let's do it. And
awesome.
Yeah. So there are a couple other music schools out here, but what we wanted to do was create a home for our students. We're very personal people. We're not about the money. Obviously the money is important, but we're about creating partnerships and we want a place to where, you know, our students can come in and if they want to just come hang out and do their homework in our lobby, they can do that. And we do have a lot of kids that do that where they just come hang out. And, you know, a place for parents too, because my parents put us in music lessons throughout our whole lives and there was never really a place for the parents to hang out. So we have a little lounge for the parents where they can drink coffee, watch TV if they want, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You may just see me showing up like, hey, can I get a cup of coffee?
Right, exactly.
That's amazing. You know, the thing about it is like music is one of these things that now in my life, I don't think I could ever live without. And I was so lucky to get so much education and experience at such a young age. But really, that's it. It's like the local community is where it starts. And it's like it starts in the home. And then if it can extend to a community and then it can go to a professional level. Those are the three kind of, you know, areas of just kind of like giving that experience. And it has so much value because even just the fact that you're doing this, let's say none of these students end up being musicians. They're all 100% of their appreciation of music will be 1,000% just from doing what you're doing because you're teaching them to use a sense that not everybody gets the opportunity to learn how to do. So I love that you're doing that. And I never want you to stop writing music though, because you just really, you have a gift. You got a serious gift. And I always want you churning that butter to make the great songs. You know what I mean? Because like that is where it's at. What do you want to play us next?
Let's look at Bring Me Home.
All right. Here's Bring Me Home, Allie Taylor Rios.
Doesn't matter how far I fall, how many times I hide behind these walls, when there's no control and tears have all run dry, I can close my eyes, I can feel your light. How would
Man, gave me chills again. You're like opening up old wounds right now. We've got to write. Putting this on the team. We've got to write some songs together because this is ridiculous.
I want to.
This is amazing. Honestly, it's like, what a beautiful song. Right when the first piano part started, the intro, I was like, I'm in. Like, I didn't even hear you sing. I'm like, I already know this song. I'm in. I love it. I'm going to just feel this and embrace it. And then you just did things in the melody that I was like, oh, this is where I would go. And you just went to that exact place. Tell me what you were thinking when you wrote this melody or this song. What was the headspace you were in?
I had been listening to a lot of Sugarland and Jennifer Nettles. She's one of my favorites. I absolutely adore her. And she has a song called Shine the Light, which is kind of similar. And I wanted to go, you know, I told my brother, we actually just recorded this on Saturday. I called him and I was like, I'm going on this podcast. I need to record this. Like, let's
this
go.
This is the song? Wait, yeah. This is the song you texted me that you guys just did?
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yep.
So good.
Yeah. And he's pretty much playing everything, you know, just piano and then the strings on top. But yeah, I wrote it with another one of my students. And she, what I love about her is that she doesn't play any instruments, you know, she took some vocal lessons, but she really loves the creative process. So what we've done is, she'll give me like a snippet of an idea, like, oh, what if we talked about, that feeling of like, you know, like you're emotionally tired and something. And I go, okay, what about these chords, you know? And so we just kind of bounce back and forth. And a lot of the songs that we write together kind of have this similar vibe where there's always a message. It's always, there's some sort of warmth underneath.
Yeah.
And I told my brother when we were recording, I said, let's go to church, not Sunday church, you know, but like a modest Wednesday, you know, service. Let's take it there, you know, and, just something that's light and lifts and just feels like you can breathe a little bit while you're listening to it.
But you know, it's like you have such tremendous soul. It's like in all your stuff, it's like you just hear there's depth, there's soul, there's heart, there's passion, there's just like this, there's this thing that I always want to feel when I listen to songs, and it's, I want to feel like myself want to take a deep breath. And I did that like I think 30 seconds into the song. I was just like, whew. Because it's like those are the moments you really reflect. Those are the moments you're like taking something sensory and turning it into imagery. You know what I mean? Right. All your songs kind of paint, you know, and I want to come to this too because you gave me a painting on a drum head. I don't know if you remember.
Oh my God.
It's still hanging in my parents' house in my room. And it's like one of the most welcoming things that I see every time I open the door.
Oh.
And it's a picture of Hendrix, Prince, Michael Jackson. And it says, when words fail, music speaks. And it's just like one of the greatest gifts any of my students has given me. And so like, I want to ask you because you obviously paint with lyrics and melodies, and you paint literally. So does that ever kind of create what you're singing? Like, are you creating paintings in your mind when you're singing?
Because
I feel it, and I'm not a painter, but right. I feel like there's some kind of connection between the fact that you paint and you're singing these beautiful melodies, because you do these like long, beautiful legato phrases. And I'm like, that is beyond just like singing a song. It's like you're painting a picture, and you do it in all your songs. In some ways you do it in all your songs. So I don't think I've ever asked you that because I never made a connection, maybe until now, but tell me about that. How is that painting connection with music? How is it kind of aiding it?
You know, I've always just loved art in general. I'm a photographer as well. And one of my favorite things to do is maternity photos. Taking, you know, giving somebody a moment where they might not feel beautiful and then looking back and going, holy cow, like I look amazing. You know, it's a great feeling. Wow. So it's kind of same with painting. You know, I wouldn't call myself a painter necessarily. I
Oh, you're definitely a painter. Definitely a painter.
Yeah, I haven't done it in quite a while, a couple of years. You know, having a kid kind of changes things. But no, definitely. I mean, I take a lot of critique that you gave me as well when I was in your class of, you know, if you're going to sing a line that the lyrics are saying, I'm moving up, your melody should move up, right? Or if I'm feeling down, your melody should move down. So it's a lot of that. I always ask my students, well, how would you speak this lyric? Like, just say it to me as if you were in a play. How would you recite this lyric as a line or as a monologue? And that kind of helps dictate too where the melody is going to go. Because if your voice goes up and you're more animated, well, so should the melody, right? It's conversational.
Yeah, but I mean, it's something different because, you know, I always tell my students, paint the words. Like you said, I love that you just remembered that. And you literally are painting with words. You're painting what you're singing. So like, are you picturing something that you're painting while you're singing?
Well, I don't know, it's funny.
Question, but it's also like, not because you're a painter. You know what I mean?
No, this is totally relevant. So I'll use this as well. I used this when I was running like a band class for teens coming in and learning, you know, wanted to be in a band and do gigs, is when they were writing songs, I'd have someone play a progression and I go, don't think about it. What color is this song?
Wow.
And they'd all kind of look at me and go, well, what do you mean? I said, what color is this song? And literally, I remember specifically this one band, I think they were like 13 to 15. That's how old they were. And every single one of them said the same shade of green. And I was like, there's something going on here. So when I'm not sure what chords to use, I'll kind of refer back to that, because a bright yellow song is going to be a lot different than a dark blue song. Right.
I knew you were going to say dark blue. I'm saying dark
blue. There you go. Yeah.
Yes. And you know what's weird is I'm not like, I wish I had the gift to paint or draw. So that's why I'm so envious of the way you draw. But, you know, like I always think of a movie whenever I'm singing, but I never think of painting a picture. And you can paint a picture all the time. You can just sing, paint a picture. So of course, when you sing, you're going to do the same thing. So,
but that too with a movie,
subconscious connection. You know,
the movie thing works too. I always ask my students, you know, when we're listening to a song, I say, what is the first thing that you see? Imagine that the song is already written, finished, done. You go to YouTube, click on the music video. Where does the music video start? That kind of sets the scene of, oh, well, I see this person sitting in their room and they're surrounded by papers. Okay, there we go. That's a mood right there. So relating it to that type of visual is totally helpful too.
Amazing. Where can people find you if they want to find your music, learn about the school, find you as a teacher? Lay it all on us.
Oh, geez. So our school, you can find it at amped-music.com. There are links to my music pages there. You can also find my photography work, cherishedmomentsphotography.net. Check out Desert Sound Studios in Palmdale. A lot of people from LA like to go out there because it's on a ranch like property. You know, and go out there, hang out with some mini donkeys, record some good music in the desert. But yeah.
Amazing. Allie, you've been a wonderful guest. I look forward to many more songs from you. I look forward to a song that you and I do together.
Yes.
Maybe many songs that you and I do together.
Definitely.
And I wish you nothing but love, happiness, and success. And you're already radiating all of those. Oh. And I hope you're enjoying motherhood as well and finding time Absolutely. For music always.
Yes, so thank you so much.
Of course, we're going to have you back because you just gave me chills with all your songs through the whole show. So now I've got to go nurse my wounds that you've opened up.
You're welcome.
You are awesome. I look forward to working with you soon. And thanks for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Nikhil.
Be good. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good.
Bye.